Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He shall not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee shall not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Open the Bible, find him there. Open the Bible, don't despair. Open the Bible, see his face. Open the Bible, trust his grace. Open the Bible, look clearly above. Open the Bible, share God's love. Well, it's time to open the Bible. And by the way, did I tell you? When we open the Bible opens the mind of God. Let's see what God's thinking about in the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 5. As you're finding your place, I would remind you that the book of 1 Thessalonians was written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, of course, by the Apostle Paul about the year 54 AD, when he was ministering in the city of Corinth, and just before he made a trip to Thessalonica. That's the first church probably that he founded, and certainly the first letter that he wrote. Every chapter, by the way, in 1 Thessalonians has a reference to the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Now, from 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, I read beginning at verse 1 and down through verse number 8. And I hope you'll join with me in prayer before I read. And now, Heavenly Father, with our hearts bowed before thee, may the Holy Spirit write indelibly upon the walls of our minds some basic fundamental truths that will change our lives, our way of thinking, our lifestyle, our modes, our moods. I pray that all things would be to the honor and glory of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, I begin reading with verse number 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child. And they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. Paul admonishes us to be sober. That means to be rationally minded, to think properly. We should be thinking about the things of the Lord. If we are stayed upon Jehovah, he promises to bless, to comfort, to guard, to guide, to keep, to preserve us. Now, the world in which we live, ladies and gentlemen, is indeed characterized by the word darkness. It is a darkness that is so intense that it's hard to describe. Let me give you John's assessment of what the world is like from 1 John 5 and verse number 19. He wrote, "The whole world lieth in wickedness." And ladies and gentlemen, we know that wickedness is clothed in darkness. The wise man, Solomon, wrote in chapter 4 of Proverbs, verse 19, "The way of the wicked is darkness. He knoweth not at what he stumbleth," or "they know not at what they stumble." Now, Webster defines darkness as a virtual lack of illumination or the absence of light. I have two synonyms for darkness. They both sound alike, as many English words do, but they mean two different things, and they're spelled differently. The first one is sunlessness, S-U-N, sunlessness, or the lack of the light that God put in the sky to lighten the day. The second synonym is sunlessness, but it's spelled S-O-N. That's the lack of the Son of God, who is the light of the world, and in whom there is no darkness. Listen to what Jesus himself said in John chapter 3, beginning at verse 19. Jesus said, "And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deed should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God." Now, ladies and gentlemen, when did that light come? It came when Jesus came. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name is John. The same came to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Ladies and gentlemen, when Jesus came, born of a virgin, made in the likeness of sinful flesh, he brought the light, and that light still shines tonight. Now, I've entitled this message, "Analyzing the Darkness of This World." I want you to look again at verse number 5. This is a key verse. "Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness." Now, we're going to consider three areas of darkness. First, we'll talk about intellectual darkness. Now, I think those of you who know anything about me and my life and my ministry, you know I believe in education. I taught Bible college and seminary for 35 years. So I believe in education. Get all you can, as the old saying has it, and can all you get. But, ladies and gentlemen, don't miss this. Education without revelation is sheer folly. When Paul described the events and conditions and circumstances of the last days prior to the coming of our Lord in 2 Timothy chapter number 3, he wrote in verse 7 about men, he said, ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And ladies and gentlemen, apart from Jesus Christ, there is no truth. He's the embodiment of truth. He's truth personified. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. No education, my friend, is complete without a knowledge of the revealed Word of God. Could I repeat that? No education is complete without a knowledge of the revealed Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible is the only book on this earth that God committed himself unreservedly, unhesitatingly, unqualifiedly, unapologetically to uphold, defend, honor, purify, and preserve. No other book carries that. Listen to what the psalmist said in Psalm 12, verses 6 and 7. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. And God, who inspired the word, has preserved the word, that we may read the word, study the word, learn the word, and hide the word in our hearts. William Lyon Phelps, one-time president of Yale University, said, and I quote, I believe in a college education, but a knowledge of the Bible without a college education is more valuable than a college education without a knowledge of the Bible. Wow. The wise man wrote in Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It all starts with God. He's the fountainhead of all knowledge and of all wisdom. In Proverbs 4:7, Solomon wrote, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom with all thy getting. Get understanding. Get wisdom. Did I hear somebody ask, how can we get wisdom? I'm glad you asked. You got questions, we got answers. Right out of the inspired library. James chapter 1 at verse number 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him dial Dallas. Pastor, I got the wrong, would you forgive me for getting the wrong translation there? Let me try it again. If any of you lack wisdom, let him call California. Still don't have it right. Let me look at it again. If any of you lack wisdom, let him fax Phoenix. If any of you lack wisdom, let him wire Washington. You're in deep trouble. Once you get inside the beltway, you are in deep trouble. Here it is, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven of the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We must be single-minded. Reminds me of the single girl who sent her picture off to the Lonely Hearts Club. They sent it back and said, we ain't that lonely. When I say single-minded, I mean to be focused on Christ. Focused on Christ when you get up, when you eat your breakfast, when you go to work, at lunch, at dinner, after dinner, when you go to bed. Focus on him. Single-minded. Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Now the humanists think they have an intellectual superiority over the rest of us, but the truth of the matter is they're inferior. Can I tell you that human wisdom, which is earthly, sensual, devilish, according to James, does not lead men to God. Human wisdom leads men away from God. For the preaching of the cross is unto them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. I will bring to naught the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto all who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. For God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the mighty. And base things of the world, and despised things of the world hath God chosen, yea, things which are not, to bring to naught things which are, that no flesh may glory in his presence. What a wonderful book is the Bible. God's got it right where he wants it to be. The thing for us to do is study it and believe it and hide it in our hearts and hold it forth to a gainsaying world. I go back to talk about the wise man Solomon in Ecclesiastes 2:14. He said, the fool walketh in darkness. The psalmist said in 14:1, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Now the fool, that word there means morally insane. There's a lot of that going on. And you know, we're putting a lot of emphasis on philosophy these days. Were you shocked as I was when the director of the communications of the White House said she turned to Mao Zedong as much as anybody? The man who murdered millions of people, shot them in the head, killed them. My soul, we need a turnover in Washington. I hope it'll come in 2010, and I believe it will. Philosophy does not have the answer to the darkness of this world. Only Christ has the answer, because he is the light of the world. Someone defined philosophy as, quote, a study that enables a man to be unhappy more intelligently. Isn't that good? I wish I'd have thought of that. Now let's look at social darkness. We're living in a society that's totally bankrupt due to the high cost of low living. We've had the New Deal and the Fair Deal and the Square Deal and a lot of other deals, a Round Deal, and every one of those deals have proved to be raw deals. We've come through the Great Society and the New Frontier. I learned that the Great Society was not any greater than the society that was before it. I learned that the New Frontier was the same thing as the Old Frontier. In the final analysis, ladies and gentlemen, any society that majors on pleasure and profit is a bankrupt society. A bankrupt society produces only bankrupt ideals. And bankrupt ideals lead to devastating darkness and death and devastation and destruction. Could I tell you that Americans are involved and engaged in lifestyles that would cause Sodom and Gomorrah to blush? Intellectual darkness, social darkness, and now thirdly, religious darkness. A wise man once said, I don't remember who it was. It may have been me. Religion without Christ is a chaotic confusion that leads to fear, failure, and frustration. There are 11 major religions in our world. The religions that we know that are creeping up on us, mainly Mohammedanism or Islam, by the way, it's the fastest growing religion in the world. They now have 1.5 billion adherents. In America, there's something like 9 million Muslims. Between the years 1990 and 2004, the Muslim religion worldwide increased 109%, while all Christian faiths increased 5%. They have 2,000 mosques in our country and 12,000 schools that teach the Muslim religion. They tell us that within 30 years there'll be 50 million Muslims in America. If something drastic doesn't happen, we will be living in a society that's dominated by Islam. That will come to pass. We better get busy and get some converts, folks. And by the way, in these 9 million, there are most of them are American converts. And the ones who are of that many, 23% come out of the Baptist denomination. May God help us. May God help us. I'm not going to list the other 9 religions except for Christianity to say to you that Christianity is the only religion, I repeat, the only religion that brings men out of the darkness of death and despair and leads them into the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the devil hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. Ladies and gentlemen, we have that light. Paul says in Colossians 1:12 and through verse 14, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us, now watch this, delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Think this over. There's not enough darkness in this world to put out the light of one candle. I read about the little boy and his sister that went down into Carlsbad Caverns. How many of you have been down into the caverns? You know how dark it is. When they turn the lights out, it's Katie bar the door. I mean, you can't see your hand in front of you. It's total darkness. And in a few moments, the little boy began crying uncontrollably. And his sister said to him, "Don't cry, buddy. There's somebody here who knows where the lights are." Hallelujah. In this dark world, there's somebody who knows where the light is. And that light is Jesus Christ. All born-again Christians are in the light, children of light, children of day. The other day, God gave me a little simple poem. That's the only kind he could give me. I'm a very simple person. And it goes like this. Thank God for the light. It brings me out of night. Thank God for the light. It gives me spiritual sight. Thank God for the light. It is ever, always bright. Thank God for the light. It changed my hopeless plight. Thank God for the light of the Lord Jesus. Can I tell you that the children of God, the children of light, are called out of darkness? I'll give you these references only. 1 Peter 2:9. The children of light are adorned with the armor of light. Romans 13:12. Children of light, we walk as children of light, we walk in the light. Ephesians 5:8. As children of light, we have the light of life. John 8:12. I must give you that. Jesus said, "I and the light of the world. He that followeth after me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Light dispels darkness. Light exposes the unclean. Light energizes the universe. As children of light, now watch this one carefully. As children of light, we watch for the end time events. I'm convinced that the next great event on God's timetable is the return of our Lord and the rapture of the saints. You know what Paul said about that? This is a verse that we need to really concentrate on. And it's Hebrews 8, or rather 9, and verse 28. Unto them that look for him. Wow. Did you get that? Unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin, that is, without a sin offering, unto salvation. Could I tell you that it's not what's behind us that matters, it's what lies before us. In view of our Lord's return, ladies and gentlemen, we should wake up, rise up, stay up, pray up, pay up, clean up, dress up, and look up. Is that what not Paul said in Titus chapter 2, verse 11? For the grace of God which bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying worldly lust, we should live soberly, godly, righteously in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He went away, but not to stay. He's coming back again. Could I appeal to you with one final verse of Scripture? If you missed everything else that's been said, please don't miss this. It's 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28. Please listen carefully. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence. And watch this, and not be ashamed before him at his coming. And not be ashamed before him at his coming. May we stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, and the Holy Spirit has an opportunity to speak to our hearts. The altar's open. God has shown you something from his word out of this message tonight. I want to ask again, are you familiar with that 1 John 2:28? And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Now let me ask you this very soul-searching question. Is there anything in your life of which you would be ashamed if Jesus were to come tonight? A habit? An attitude? An unforgiving spirit? A secret partner? An unconfessed sin? Anything that you would be ashamed of before him if he were to come tonight. Heavenly Father, speak to all of our hearts. You know what's in every heart tonight. And I pray that none of us would be ashamed before Jesus at his coming. If there be those who have prayer burdens, something that's bothered them today or yesterday or last week, or something that's eating on them some way, somehow, some unconfessed sin, or something that blocks the channel or that disrupts the relationship or the fellowship with thee. May they lay it on the altar tonight. I pray and ask it in Jesus' name. As we sing...